Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. As small businesses become part of the reopening process, barbershops and beauty salons are key parts. But new rules in the new normal of the COVID-19 pandemic are complicated. Are they so complex as to perhaps even damage those businesses, even as their doors reopen? There are some concerns that some of those beauty businesses may not be able to survive. Well, we're talking about that tonight. My guests are Marissa Robinson, a hairstylist in Washington, D.C., and Dr. Sharon Anderson, an attorney and management and business strategist. Lines are open if you have a comment or a question. If you're ready to go back and get your hair done, ready to go back and get a haircut, or if you own a salon or barber shop and are still wondering what is next, we want to hear from you at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Marissa, Dr. Anderson, thanks for joining me. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Okay,
yes,
great.
Thanks for having us.
Marissa, let me start with you. You're in D.C. D.C. is scheduled to open phase one on tomorrow. And Virginia, Northern Virginia, scheduled to open tomorrow. Prince George's, Montgomery County, scheduled to open on June 1st. So that's the entire DMV. From your perspective, what is your biggest challenge and concern?
My biggest challenge and concern comes from, one, being able to accommodate the amount of people that, one, are going to flood the salons, and two, accommodate them by the restrictions that are required, and then what's going to happen after that flood is over. I think initially we'll see a big boom of people. I think a lot of the salons are prepared with all of the PPE and wipes and barbicide, and everybody's really taking a lot of time to do their due diligence to be as prepared as possible. But what happens when we're dealing with the emotional constraints of what the coronavirus has left us with? Our business is very emotional as it is physical. A lot of people have been through a lot, and we touch and we love and we hug one another. I do have concerns about how to heal, how to cater to my clients emotionally through the barriers and constraints that we'll have. I'm also concerned about the numbers. You know, will the numbers be enough to sustain us in business and be able to be there and serve due to the regulations of space and time we can spend with one another and the frequency of the clients who want to come in? You know, will that all be enough?
You make a really interesting point when you talk about the crush of customers that you are expecting, because across the board, we're hearing the same kind of instruction that you Only, for example, today, Prince George's County executive said one person for every 200 square feet. That's essentially a box.
Right.
And anyone who has been in a hair salon, particularly a black hair salon, they are often crowded. People are there all day, depending on how you manage the business. That's another show, obviously. But beyond, you know, those kinds of specifics, you know, to have two or three people in a salon while you have a dozen or two dozen waiting for their turn, can you operate? Can you survive like that?
Yeah, it's a big question, you know, as well as the needs of the African American community specifically, with not having their hair done in 3 months. You know, those appointments, specifically for me, I work with natural hair. those are going to be more extensive appointments than maybe what would typically be in a normal circumstance. And so then it's like, how do you allocate that time with your prices, and how do you allocate that time and prepare?
Dr. Anderson, kind of give me a list of the rules, for example, in Maryland and D.C., and if you know, in Virginia, as to how barbershops and salons are supposed to operate going forward?
Well, again, and thank you for having me.
Sure.
There's not been any guidelines given, but putting on my business strategist hat and putting on my legal hat, the first thing that every barbershop, stylist, salon owner needs to do is to plan. Sister Marissa just gave a laundry list of considerations that everybody has to consider. And if you don't sit and have a plan before you walk in that door, you will not be able to sustain. And one thing that I really want to focus, this isn't just about booking appointments and money. This is about life or death. Mm-hmm. And they really need to understand that. Right now, we know that the risk, and I do risk management training, risk management planning, the risk of someone bringing in COVID is 100%. And it's only going to get worse before it gets better if you listen to the medical professionals. So we have to look at not only financially, how is your business going to sustain by following the rules of social distancing and utilizing PPE, but how is it going to thrive? And then how are you going to protect yourself, your family, and your customers from infection? Because someone getting infected not only means a matter of life or death, it also means a matter of liability. So what I am recommending to my clients, first of all, is sit down, preferably with me, and do a risk management analysis based on how you operate so that you are ensuring yourself, your family, and your customers that you are protecting them, as well as you are looking at your books and your budget and your finances to make sure that you can sustain. For all of the barbershops that are listening, for all of the salons that are listening, it is not just about barberside masks and smocks. It is not just about that. And the question is, based on what Marissa said, if you could only have two people in your shop per hour, are you going to have enough money to buy enough smocks and masks and barbicide for the next 3 months? My planning goes 3 months, 6 months, 9 months. If you don't plan out 3 months, 6 months, minimally 9 months, hopefully 12 months, in 3 months, you could financially end up shutting down because PPE equipment is on back order as of today. Right. So you could run out of money and run out of PPE equipment, and you might not have enough, and then you won't be able to operate because you won't have enough PPE equipment. So that's first. Contact tracing. All salon owners need to do contact tracing. You need to make sure that you have a contact tracing card. Again, my company provides that, and you need to know who's coming in so that if someone comes in and says, look, I was infected, I didn't know it, I was asymptomatic, you will be able to not only handle that yourself and with your family, but with your clientele. And your clientele, as Marissa said, a hairstylist salon, you have clientele that you've had for years. So you don't want to infect them. And so if you find out that someone came in that was infected, you want to be able to communicate that so that your clients can take care of themselves. And they are going to want to know that you're doing something to protect them. Three is signage. You should have signs in the entryway, on your doors, in your windows, that you can't come in without a mask, that you can't come in if you've been infected within that 14-day period or have been exposed to COVID-19 within that period. And just as the government is opening up in phases, you might want to consider that too. So maybe in your first phase, you can't deal with high-risk individuals. Because, again, traffic means exposure. So if grandma comes in because grandma hasn't had her hair done, and someone that's in there is asymptomatic, then grandma gets infected. You know what's going to happen with the family? First of all, grandma gets infected and sick and, God forbid, dies. They're going to sue you. Second of all, you're going to feel bad because grandma was sick. And thirdly, if you haven't taken the precautions to keep grandma safe, then your business is going to shut down and you're going to have liability issues and you will not control when you can open back up. Mm-hmm. The courts will and the government will.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about barbershops and beauty salons. How will they handle the reopening process, the complexity of the changes involved in the lifting of restrictions of the COVID-19 shutdown? If you have a comment, if you have a question for us, give us a call again at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. As it relates to your shop, Marissa, what kind of planning is already in the works?
Well, we've done a really good job of planning thanks to Bill Lawrence and thanks to Manny Jimenez. We really worked together on all the Zoom calls throughout this whole time, trying to make sure we're all on the same page, communicating with our clients, adding plexiglass, making sure there's a thermometer present, lots of signage for what you should and shouldn't do before you come in the door, stopping at the door, making sure that there's a sign that says that they need to wash their hands before they sit down, adjusting furniture, and placement of dryers and stations, lots of things. Definitely one of the most important, I think, is the communication with the clients via email, phone calls, and text to try to, you know, keep that relationship going, stay informed with their health, their safety, what their needs are, and apply the feedback as well as what the government, the CDC, and the mayor requires.
Mm-hmm. Yours is a hair salon. Do they do manicures and pedicures?
No, not at this time.
Mm-hmm. Because that is one of the other concerns that a lot of businesses have had over the past several weeks. Even as they've entered into phase one, the barbershops are allowed to open, the beauty shops are allowed to open, but there are very few salons and even barbershops that do manicures and pedicures. And so far, those are not available, nor is neither is the eyebrow threading. Your thoughts about that, Marissa?
I think that we're going to see a lot of that start to open up tomorrow and over the weekend with phase one.
Not yet. A lot of in the state of Maryland, for example, and in D.C., no manicures, no pedicures, no eyebrow threading. That's a phase two. And that is where, and when you talk about the business issue, that is a bit of a conundrum for those who only perform those kind of services.
Yeah. Well, the deal is with that is that a lot of those businesses are opening, whether or not they're supposed to legally or not. And so I've had a lot of clients that I've spoken to say, well, you know, I've got my nails done and it went well. And so to me, that's like a red flag because mm-hmm. they're not supposed to be doing that. So that is one of the questions that I've been asking is, you know, just have you gotten your nails done? Have you gotten your eyebrows done? Have you seen any other beauty professionals? Those types of questions now we have to consider asking. But yeah. I don't think it's a good idea, you know, thus far. I think we do have to take it in phases and just see what happens first. See how it goes and let it be successful before we start to add too much to the plate.
Interesting point. I need to take a break, but before I do, and before we lose Marissa, I want to thank you so much for sharing with us. Marissa, if there's a website you want to share with us, please go right ahead.
Sure. It's brilliantbeautylifestyle.com. And brilliant.
Say that again.
LLC.
That's a bit fast.
Instagram.
That was a little fast. Say again.
Sorry. BrilliantBeautyLifestyle.com and Brilliant Beauty LLC on Instagram.
Okay. And as we go to the break, Dr. Anderson, your website information?
Yes, it's www.drsharonempowers.com. That's www.drsharonempowers.com.
I need to go to a break. As I said, when we come back, we're going to talk to Raymond calling from D.C. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. On the other side of the break, we're going to talk about the makeup industry and how it is impacted by the reopening, these phase ones and phase twos. So stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. The original Quiet Storm is next on WHUR. This conversation continues on Sirius XM in just a few seconds, and we are still taking your calls. We'll be back in a bit. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM, channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our look at how the beauty industry is being impacted by the reopening from the COVID-19 shutdown. My guests are Dr. Sharon Anderson, attorney and management and business strategist, and now joining us, Kim Lee, celebrity makeup artist and owner of the beauty company Wink and Pout. If you have a comment, if you have a question, please don't hesitate to give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Before we go to our guests again, let's talk to Raymond calling from D.C. Raymond, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Thank you. Thank you so much for the opportunity. My name is Raymond Chandler, known to many as Racine. I am a licensed nail technician for over 20 years. I like to say that it's very important before we go into phase one and phase two and phase three concerning the beauty industry, is very important as professionals that we go through the proper training. Midland and Barberside has offered free training and verification for many stylists and many nail technicians and makeup artists for the infectious disease special training, which is free for us, to go online to be certified. So when we go in, we have taken all of the proper precautions. We have learned everything we needed to learn and verifying all of the proper guidelines at the CDC. And I want people to understand that safety is the number one concern for professionals in our industry and for our clients. Many of my clients have contacted me. I've contacted them. I've spoke with them about the importance of our safety first. And I don't want people to rush out in phase one and go into places where they're not prepared to come into the door. My salon, where I work, can only do hair now, as according to phase one. And according to phase one, you take the stylist in, and then you take your clients, but they have to book the appointments by appointment only. There's no waiting. Signs will be at the door, proper precaution with my stylist. My coworkers, we've all ordered the special masks. We have masks for clients who don't come in. We're making sure that you're washing your hands, that we're cleaning, and allowing, after we book our clients, enough time to make sure we are doing the proper CDC guidelines with cleaning and sanitation. So, I just wanted to state that those who are very concerned and those who are very professional are making sure we're taking proper precautions. And I just want to say thank you for having this conversation. And to all of my colleagues and all of our clients out there, please put your safety first.
But Raymond, let me say that you are obviously cream of the crop and everyone should be following your lead. But as Marissa said before 7:30, she's known that some people are getting their nails done even before some regions are entering into phase one.
And it's sad. And you have to understand, if you're sitting in a chair, you have to question that professional. You have to question that professional that you are sitting in their chair, the professionals that are opening up the salon that are not following the guidelines. They're literally breaking the law. So you have to understand, when folks don't put their safety first or don't care about yours, why are you going there? Beauty comes from within. Beauty is spiritual and it's a gift from God. And the most important thing is to feel beautiful in the inside. You can feel beautiful on the outside later. We want you to live. We want you to understand that your health is a number one priority. It's not always about being beautiful on the outside, because that's really superficial. And I thank God for all of us who help and aid in that. But you also have to understand as a professional, for those who take the proper training, those who are licensed, and make sure they're licensed, make sure you're seeing license and certification, and ask the question to the person have you sitting in their chair, are you taking the extra precautions to take the extra classes that are offered to you and your profession?
And then I guess if you see a deer in the headlights look, maybe it's time to find another professional.
You get up and you leave. You have that option. And I tell people, look for it, because I'm so proud that I took the certification. And
okay.
I will have mine at the front door if I have to. I will have it above my station. And I've also, prior to, I can't go in yet, and I'm waiting for phase two. So as a nail technician, I can't go in yet.
Yeah.
So
okay.
I prepared. I've already strategized. I have my box. I have my kit. I have my tools. I have everything prepared for when I go in, that I have to take a day of cleaning, of intense cleaning and sanitation and sterilization before I begin to go into work.
Okay. Well, Raymond, thank you so much. I really appreciate you calling and contributing to the conversation. It really has really helped enhance, you know, the information that we're sharing. So thank you again, and you be safe while you're waiting to get back to work. Let me go to Kim Lee from Wincan Power. Hey, Kim, how are you?
I'm good, Harold. How are you?
I'm doing okay. Let's talk a little bit about the makeup industry for those who know you, and even for those who don't, but know that, yes, you, as they say, you beat the face. But it is the face, and specifically the mouth, that everyone is concerned about as it relates to community spread and wearing masks and the like. What is your concern about how this pandemic has affected how you conduct business going forward?
Well, I have a few concerns, Harold, and thank you for that wonderful introduction. You know, I think that right now, you know, in spite of all that I've accomplished, we are all on even playing ground. So even the beginner up to the most, you know, I guess, notarized, known beauty pro, we're all in the same boat. And so what concerns me is how we're going to pivot and how we're going to come out of this and survive. What concerns me is our safety. What concerns me is the lack of knowledge that the beauty pro has right now as it relates to the safety and sanitation and what some of the things that can happen to us if we do open up our doors, not just us, you know, not properly being protected, but can we be sued if we, you know, aren't covering ourselves properly? If someone was to come and say that they caught corona from us or in our establishment. So there are a lot of things, Harold, that concern me as the beauty pro and as a forerunner in my community, being in the beauty industry for over 28 years and servicing some of the world's most noted celebrities like Angela Bassett and Whitney Houston. You know, I'm used to being on a set where there are 170 people, 170 creatives, you know, not just makeup artists, but hairstylists and gaffers and camera operators and sound men and all kinds of people that we're in close quarters. And so there are a lot of concerns for me, Harold, that unfortunately, we can't cover in an hour. But if I had to zero in on just a few things, I think it would be if we are starting all over again and pivoting, a few things that are a good thing for the beauty pro is that now we can offer classes online. If you have a product, now is a great time for you to sell product and teach your customer how to maintain until they can get back to you. I think educating our customers on the measures that we're taking, and I appreciate Raymond for mentioning the Barbicide certification, because that's one of the things that helps the customer to feel at ease that you have taken the measures, the proper measures to get ahead of the game. So as you do transition from phase one to phase two, phase two to phase three, now the customer feels comfortable and confident that you have a space where you're providing a service where they won't get sick. And so I think that is my immediate concern is safety. My immediate concern is making sure that the beauty pro is aware of some of the options that we have and some of the things that we can lean on in terms of funding and things like that. And I think Sharon is going to talk to a little bit more about that. But I think that for me is where, you know, I have my megaphone out, if you will, just yelling out to the masses that, hey, you know, we don't have to sit in the house and feel sorry for ourselves, because as creatives, you know, this is our love language, is to touch and to perform a service to make people look and feel better. And like Raymond said, it's not just about the outward, but it's the inward that we also work on. When we physically touch these women, these men, there's something that transfers. There is encouragement, and there is light, and there is so many things that people need who are in a world that is just so horrific. You know, the climate of our country is just really not in a good place. And we know that the barbershop and the hair salon, this is the place where women come together and men come together, and we talk, and we breathe, and we relax, and we converse, and we pile around, and it's kind of a place where we find refuge. You know, it's where we find out trends. It's where we laugh, where we can, you know, just kind of, the only thing that separates me from a customer is a cape. We breathe the same air. We have the same heart. You know, we all want to be loved and revered, and that's the place where we can just take down all of those walls and just be who we are. So we don't have that opportunity right now to extend that love in that way.
But hold on, and Kim, if I may, because you may not have that opportunity ever again. Because that's, you know, that's, let's, you know, all of the things that you said are wonderful, but that is not where we are right now. And we may never go back to the kind of healing process that comes from personal services professionals. You're not going to be
concerned.
Yeah,
concerned, Harold, because the beauty pro, and that's why I preface with, it is important that we pivot, because now we don't have those. So it is a mental awareness, a mental health concern for me. It is a safety concern for me. So like I said, this conversation is such a passion for me as it relates to the beauty pro, because we're dealing with a lot.
Let me, before I go back to the phone lines, I received an inbox from Michelle, and she mentioned something that Marissa didn't mention initially, Dr. Anderson didn't mention, but it was an oh wow moment. And what she asked about it, and this is for you, Dr. Anderson, she was asking about the banning of blow drying.
Wow.
That is huge.
That is huge. Never really thought about it. I certainly.
Yeah, I didn't. Yeah, I look. I shave my head and I do it at home, so none of this applies to me. But you know, but for a lot of people, you know, the shampoo is one thing, the cut is another, but the blow drying, and you're talking about community spread and. Sure. And the moving around of the virus, that's got to be frightening.
Sure, absolutely, absolutely. And I think the main point is, certainly we haven't heard anything about banning blow drying. And to me, that is just extreme from a lawyer's perspective. We go into Safeway, we're passing people, we're touching things that other people have touched, an apple, another piece of fruit, a can. So we want to be careful about going to the extremes. What I do want to say to the beauty professionals, and I work closely with Kim and we've done some webinars, is once again, how you operate has to be very specific to your industry and to your particular business. So take the extra precaution. So if you are doing blow drying, we know that spread exists, then having the plexiglass, if you have a lot of blow drying stations, would be paramount for you versus a barber shop where you don't have as much blow drying. The other point in terms of lessening liability that I didn't get to touch on was the frequency of the change of your smocks and your masks and your gloves. I certainly have been in salons, and my hairstylist, she wears the same smock all of the time, and she uses the same smock on individual clients. And so again, having enough smocks and masks is key and critical. The third point I want to make before you go to break is...
No, please go right ahead. We're not taking a break. Please go right ahead.
Okay. Yep, documentation. Documentation is key. So as an attorney, I want to make sure that I have documentation that you took almost every step necessary to protect yourself. And so if you're changing your smock, have a log for every time you change your smock. Have a log for every time your assistant changes the smock. Have a log for every time you clean your bathroom, and you should be cleaning your bathroom after each use. And so if you have a log and if you have documentation, then you're beginning to protect yourself from an allegation of liability. I know that when I've had this conversation, people are asking me, well, how will they know that they contracted it from the salon? They could have left and gone to Safeway, and they could have gotten it from Safeway. And we have to remember that we live in a litigious society. People sue about anything for any reason. And as both Kim and Marissa noted, we all know this, we're in a very emotionally heightened state right now. And so if something happens to a loved one, and we think that it happened because they went to the salon, then the salon is going to be on the firing block. And so what we need to do as business owners, and what I'm recommending to my clients, is to make sure that you can take every precaution necessary, even to a bit of an extreme, so that you are protecting yourself and can lessen the liability and even fight off the process of a case being filed against you if you have shown that you've taken the precaution. Again, we want to sustain and thrive. We don't want to open quickly and then shut down quickly. And then once again, it's going to be the courts and it's going to be the government that's going to control when we reopen, as opposed to now putting together the documentation, the contact tracing cards, and everything we need to protect ourselves. So then when we open, we'll remain open. And that is very critical.
Let me go back to the phone lines. Let me go to Beverly calling from Gaithersburg. Beverly, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi.
Hi.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
When Georgia was about to reopen, I don't know if you guys heard, but Steve Harvey was warning people that it could have been like a ploy to set up black people, like to kill off black people.
Say that again. When what was?
Oh, sorry. When Georgia was about to reopen, Steve Harvey had something saying that he was warning black and brown people against going to the salons and the barbershops and everything, because it could be a setup to try to kill off black and brown people, you know, who frequent the salons, and especially when it was way before it was time. So I'm just wondering, when is it really safe to get our hair done, and are they trying to fix the election by killing us off?
Well, let me say this about that, and I say facetiously that black and brown people are the only people who go to hair salons, because white people don't do that, right? So let's be clear-eyed, flat-footed, and smart in that in our community, if all we know are black people, then the only people that go to hair salons are black people. But if you take a look at just what happened hours ago in Gaithersburg, in Montgomery County, where the county executive, Mark Elrich, was trying to talk about phase one, and you had a lot of protesters, and when he started talking about barbershops and beauty salons, there were no black people heckling him. Those were all white people complaining about the fact that their beauty and barber salons could not open. And so, no shade to Mr. Harvey, but I would say that the beauty business is colorless. Everybody wants to look good. And so it's not just the black folks that I just never believed that. With that said, I think that is a valid question. When is it safe to go? And so I will defer to Dr. Anderson and Kim. Dr. Anderson, you first.
Yes. Thank you. And it's a great question. And even that is a great comment. I've heard the same thing that, you know, because the notion is that black people run to the nail salon more frequently, which is, as I agree, Harold, that's just not true, that there's some type of conspiracy. What I would note, however, to your point, Harold, is that we have to be wise in when we go and how we go and where we go. So to Kim's point and to Marissa's point, you want to go to a salon that's taking the precautions to keep you safe and that can demonstrate to you that they are taking those precautions to keep you safe. And African-American business owners have to take that time. I will say this because I represent a number of African-American businesses and non-African-American businesses. And oftentimes we want to jump to open for financial reasons without taking the time to plan. Because of the financial constraints that COVID-19 and the pandemic has caused, people want to run and open very quickly. And you do that at a risk that will hurt yourself and hurt your family and your clients. Back to Marissa's point, there are people out there, and Kim and I had this conversation earlier, doing hair in their home. And we were talking, we both have grandchildren. I would die if my grandchild was infected because I made a haphazard decision because pressure was on me to do hair or pressure was on me to do nails. And now I've got the infection in my home. And so as African-American business owners and African-American patrons, we need to be wise in the decisions that we're making, either to choose to go to a particular salon, not just when, but where and what precautions they're taking. And then as the business owner, I keep saying this on every platform that I'm on, it's not just when you open, it's how. Just because the governor and the mayor and the county executive says that you can doesn't mean you should. If you don't have your license and you did not take the time to get your license during this quarantine, before you go back in that door, go get your license. If you don't have the finances to get what you need, all of the PPE equipment, the plexiglass, enough masks, et cetera, get a payroll protection loan. They are available and out there for you. And if you don't know how to do it, find someone that can help you do it so you have the resources to protect yourself as a business owner. Don't just open because you can. And so I think that that just speaks to the young lady's point. It's not that they're trying to kill us off, but oftentimes we find in our communities we're rushing back in haphazardly because we need the money. And short money in this instance, in this pandemic, can mean short life. Not just life of your business, but life and health. And I think we really have to understand that. I'll just put stomp that point for a brief minute. I've lost 4 people in 3 months. So this is near and dear to my heart. And so when I speak about how important it is to be prepared and how important it is for these precautions to be in place, I speak to it because I've had family members die. And so anybody listening needs to understand that it's not just about the money. It's not just about going back and being creative because you miss it. It is about saving your life.
Yeah. Our condolences to you for your losses. Kim, your thoughts about going back and for makeup artists, for example, we've spoken a whole lot about what consumers should be asking of hair salons, but what should they ask you?
I think that everything that Sharon mentioned is going to be helpful in us transitioning back into a workspace. The thing about makeup artists, which is a little bit different from the hairstylists, is we are transient, so we typically go from place to place in a nomadic form. We don't just, you know, reside in a salon. We typically go to hotels for weddings and for 50th birthday parties and, you know, that kind of thing. And in my case, you know, I'm on, you know, multiple movie and television sets. And so with that being said, it's not necessarily what you should ask me. It's where we are setting up. I think that's the bigger question. You know, should you go away from being mobile to being sedentary in one location where you can manage, you know, your protection equipment, where you can manage the log that, you know, Sharon talked about, us being able to say, you know, I've changed my smocks out and I have, you know, I've kept inventory of that. I think that is where we have to make a shift in the beauty, in the makeup world. I think that's very, very important. Customers are going to have to start coming to one place where we can do that management, because I can't always be comfortable knowing that, you know, the bathrooms have been cleaned in a hotel, you know, after your cousin came out of the bathroom. If it's a suite at a hotel where somebody's getting married, you follow what I mean? And
yeah.
So with that being said, you know, we're going to have to make some very big changes, and customers are going to have to be flexible if they want to be serviced. And they're going to have to wait for those opportunities for us to clean where we are between customers, or we're going to have to hire someone, you know, to come in to do that so that we can keep the flow going. But it's going to be some major, major changes that are going to have to take place in the mindset of the beauty pro and the customer.
And I will say, you know, we had a similar conversation about a month or so ago about this very thing. And we had a guy who called in, and he was a barber, and he was talking about having a business, you know, set up in his home, and he had all of this PPE, and he had a face shield and gloves, and he had one person coming in. And after he tried to convince everyone, of course, that he was safe, one of my guests, who was a legal expert, said, yes, and everything that you just said is illegal. Because those businesses were supposed to be closed because of the shutdown.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And I think that until, and it's still illegal now, until if you are in, it's illegal until Monday in Prince George's. It's illegal until Monday in Montgomery County. It is illegal until midnight tonight in the District of Columbia. It is illegal until tomorrow in Northern Virginia. And so I think that even when it becomes legal again because of these executive orders, I think the difficult thing is that, you know, for every Raymond, for every Marissa, for every Kim, there are going to be 10 mom and pop working from the basement, doing it the way we used to do, because I need the money and I don't care.
Well, let me say this to you, Harold, really quickly. Yeah. We all turn 16, and that's the age where we're able to drive, correct? But
right.
we don't put our 16-year-olds on the road until they pass a test.
Mm-hmm.
And the reality is that although there are different ordinances in place to reopen, we still need to make sure we have our affairs in order. I cannot stress that enough. Just because we turn 16, and I say that figuratively, doesn't mean that we should get on the road and start driving.
Mm-hmm.
We have to make sure that we are being trained. We have to make sure that we have our affairs in order, our licensing, our all of our legal things in order, that Sharon is providing this service, Sharon Anderson. We need to make sure that those things are in order before we open those doors, or we could get into big trouble.
Yeah. And then the bigger issue is going to be, how is this going to be policed? How what kind of penalties are you going to have? And
right.
Ultimately, the worst thing is that people get sick.
That's right. That's
and,
right.
And that's the thing that we really, really need to watch out for. I want to end the conversation right here. I think this is a good place. But I want to thank you, Kim Lee. Thank you so much for joining in your conversation. Tell your husband I said hey.
I will. He's listening. I will.
And of course, Dr. Sharon Anderson and Marissa Robinson, thank you for participating in this really important conversation. Stay safe out there, everybody.
Thank you.
Absolutely. That is the Daily Drum for this Thursday, May 28th. I'm Harold Fisher. The Connection is next. Good night.